And in your book again, Dr. Garrison, I come across one of a very, very effective training aspect on Quranic bridge. And I know the Islamic world is such a big, huge, a political and social, religious fanaticism, and so many issues happening within the Islamic world. Particularly in the land of India, we have the second largest Muslim population, more than 150 million. And your perspective on Quranic bridge, how a Quran can be a bridge, because there is a controversy about how whether Quran can become a bridge or a Holy Spirit can become a bridge. This is not my question. This was a question posed by some of the MBBs when I tried to share about this to them. And I would like your reflection on this issue.
Well, it is a great question. It's a very timely question for our day, David, because frankly, the Muslim world, with more than a billion adherents, is the largest single block of opposition to the gospel in the world today. It's also one of the fastest growing blocks. But the exciting thing is more Muslims have come to Christ in the last 20 years than at any other time in history. So this is a great time to learn how God is drawing those Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we've tried our ways for centuries.
Yes.
One of our more illustrious failures was called the Crusades.
Yes.
In which so-called Christian Europe imitated Islam, because Islam had used military might for years to advance its religion. And so the Christians said, well, it worked for them. Maybe we should try the same thing. And it's one of the most horrific, embarrassing moments in the history of Christianity. In the years that followed that, fortunately, we learned that it's just incompatible with the gospel to put a cross on your shield and go attack and kill a Muslim for Jesus. That's not the Lord's way. But unfortunately, we have not learned particularly effective ways in the years that have followed. Isn't it exciting to know that today we're able to go and see where God is already at work, drawing thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims to new faith in Jesus Christ as baptized, born-again believers? We don't have to invent the methods. We don't have to start from scratch. We can go and learn from our Master and see how is He doing it. And this is exactly what has led to this. In my book, I call it the Quranic bridge. My friend calls it the camel method. He calls it that in part because there's an old Muslim saying that God has 100 names, and mankind was given 99 of those names, but one of them was kept secret, and that secret was told only to the camel.
Yes.
And the camel is not talking. Well, with the camel method, he says the secret is out.
Yes.
The name is Jesus Christ, the name above all names.
Yes.
And the camel method, he says, is our way of taking the gospel to Muslims in ways that reveal to them who Jesus is. But to do that, you have to first step into their world.
Yes.
They will not, by and large, they will not step into our world and find Jesus Christ unless we're willing to cross-culturally step into their world. And this means understanding a little bit about the Quran. It doesn't mean becoming a disciple of the Quran or believing that the Quran is the Word of God, because as Christians, we simply do not.
Yes.
But they do believe it is the Word of God. And unless we're willing to get into their mind and into their belief and value system, we really cannot communicate effectively with them.
Right.
And this is what we're seeing happen today in South Asia, where tens of thousands of Muslims have come to faith and been baptized. As we've gone to them and, if you will, reverse engineered what's happened, looked at the process and taken it apart to understand it, we've seen Muslim background believers taking the Quran with their Muslim friends and showing them in the Quran what it says about Jesus. Now, there's not enough light in the Quran to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ or to lead them to salvation. There's no question about that. There's only salvation through Jesus Christ and that revealed in God's Word, the Bible. However, even in the Quran, they can see that there's something about this Jesus that's different, that Jesus is more than just a prophet.
Yes.
The Quran reveals to them that Jesus was born of a virgin. Mm-hmm. No other prophet was born of a virgin. The Quran reveals to them that Jesus lived a righteous, holy life. even though the Quran will say Muhammad admits that he is a sinner. The Quran even reveals to them that Jesus is with God in heaven today. It also speaks of the miracles of Jesus, that he raised the dead and caused the sick to be well and the blind to see. So Jesus is simply lifted up by these evangelists who point to the holy book of the Muslims and say, even in your own book, can't you see that Jesus is something more than a prophet? Using that entry point, they make a bridge into the Bible to say, if you want to know more about Jesus, let me show you where you can learn more. From there, these Muslims come into the Word of God, begin reading about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they say, my goodness, in the Quran, I only had a few verses scattered here and there about Jesus, but in the New Testament, I can read all about Jesus. I can read and read and read, and they fall in love with Jesus as they read about him. So this Quranic bridge has been immensely effective. It is the way that God is drawing tens of thousands of Muslims to new faith in Jesus Christ. So for that reason and that reason alone, we take careful note of it. We have made it a point to learn the ways that Muslim background believers, or MBBs as you call them, the ways that these Muslim background believers are drawing their family and their friends and their lost relatives into new life in Jesus Christ.
Well, I see a real wisdom in this. It's like St. Paul walking into Athens and talking with people and telling them who is that unknown God.
Amen. And Paul said, to the Jew, I became a Jew, to the Greek, a Greek, in order to win some.
Yes. Become all to all, and that is what we have to be doing. I think our own fear complex is making us not to be bold enough to come out with this kind of approach. I think now we have to rethink, and I would appeal to some of my friends that they have to change their mindset and be courageous, be bold, and use this Quranic method as a bridge and try to walk into the Muslim world.
You know, one of the questions that people often have when we talk about the thousands, and in the month of February, for example, we know of 10,000 Muslims who are baptized. In the month of March, we know of 35,000 who are baptized. And they say, wow. Oh, goodness, surely these aren't truly believers. Have they really come to faith in Christ? And when I hear these stories, I like to tell them just a little example of some of these believers, yes. What kind of faith they have. And if I can, I'd like to give you a little excerpt from my book. This is from the first martyr from a huge church planting movement among Muslims in South Asia. He calls himself an Isahi, which is belonging to Jesus, and his name was Midjaner. And I'd like to tell you his story. Let me read to you directly from the book. The first Isahi in this country I call Jadidistan in my book. It's a made-up name. It's in South Asia. The first Isahi in Jadidistan who laid down his life for the gospel was a young man named Midjaner, who went to be with the Lord in August 1997, about the same time the movement was really building up speed. After learning that Midjaner and his family had converted from Islam, a mob of young Muslim militants turned up at his house. Over the protests of Midjaner's young wife and father, the mob seized the 22-year-old young man and dragged him into the local madrasa, where he was pressured to renounce his faith in Jesus, but Midjaner refused. The angry men took Midjaner's hand and cut off his fingers one by one, but in his heart he clung to Jesus. Finally, the angry interrogators cut off Midjaner's hand at the wrist. Swooning from the pain, Midjaner was barely conscious as the frustrated men tied his arms behind his back and left him seated on the ground beneath a tree. In the cool night air, the bleeding was slow, but sometime alone in the dark, Midjaner died. Now, perhaps they didn't mean to kill him. Perhaps they only wanted to force him to renounce Jesus and return to Islam. Whatever their intentions, Midjaner was faithful to Christ, even unto death. But you know, Dave, the exciting thing is the story doesn't end there. Midjaner was the only son and the new husband of a young bride. And benevolent Christians who had learned of Midjaner's story took pity on his family and gathered money to buy a small plot of land and some chickens to provide an income for his widow and father. In the years that followed, life was hard with no Midjaner around to help tend the farm. Then one day, two young men appeared at the home of Midjaner's father. "We've come to ask your forgiveness," they said. We were the ones who killed Majaner, and now we give ourselves to you. We will be like sons and work for you.
Wow.
For you see, we too have become followers of Amen. Jesus.
How really it is touching our heart.
Amen.
Really, many of these incidents and circumstances is a proof to realize that truly the Holy Spirit is moving in midst of this people.
And the faith is very deep and very real. These are not casual believers. They've not given up the Trinity to follow Jesus. This is one of the questions people ask. They said, oh, sure, anyone will follow Jesus if you get rid of the Trinity or you say Jesus isn't really God. We've done careful studies of these followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. For them, Jesus is fully God and fully man.
Yes.
They have no question that Jesus is Father and Son and Holy Ghost. For them, the Bible is the authoritative Word of God. They've been baptized. These are not secret believers. Mm-hmm. They're standing up and saying, I'm following Jesus. They call themselves Isahi, meaning belonging to Jesus.
Yes.
So this is not a syncretistic movement. Mm-hmm. It's one that is very vibrant. It's one that continues to grow in numbers. It's actually building momentum rather than declining. And more importantly, the faith is very deep, very rich, one that has demonstrated again and again a willingness to surrender its own life before it would renounce Jesus Christ.
I think that's very, very important because in past we have seen some of the organizations who would like to reach the Muslims. At one point, they compromise, they accommodated, and they become don't do anything with them.
Yeah.
You know, I think I see a very distinct difference between that kind of movement and this
Well, that kind of movement that you speak of, one in which people compromise and compromise and compromise in order to follow Jesus, is really not Christianity. It has the form of godliness but denies the power. And some of that is going on in South Asia and other parts of the world today. But these Isahi believers, these followers of Jesus who've given their life to Jesus, they reject that movement.
Yes.
The Muslims around them know that these people have now turned away from the Muslim religion and now are followers of Jesus Christ. And as a result, they are being persecuted.
Yes.
But they're staying true to Christ even unto death.